Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "About that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, the owner would have stayed awake and would not have let the house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
In the name of Jesus.
So as I read this gospel lesson, I tend to think that St. Matthew might have voted for Mr. Trump. Perhaps he would have been a supporter of the big wall. Now, I'm not deliberately trying to be provocative here. Well, maybe a little. But my goal is pointed toward understanding. One way to understand the recent election is to by identifying a tension that lies within all of us to a degree. And a tension that certainly lies within the population in general. That tension is one of vigilance on one hand and inclusion on the other, of preserving life on one hand and an openness to life on the other, both worthy goals. Now, a big wall is a telling symbol these days. Are we safer by keeping people out, or by welcoming them in? Spiritually, one might say there is a tension between the law on one hand and the gospel message on the other. Live by the rules, live by grace. Now we all know from the story of Jesus and reading constantly, we are reading constantly, right? Jesus was not one to toss the law aside. And he certainly encouraged those whom he encountered to put aside sinful behaviors, to be vigilant, if you will. Still, his life, his death and resurrection announced a new emphasis upon inclusion, forgiveness, the promise of life to all. We might say he did not overload his life or message with the theme of vigilance. If we reflect on Matthew, even recognizing that Jesus said these things at one point or another, but Matthew seems to have stacked them all together for a particular purpose. His purpose seems to be an emphasis upon vigilance. Keep awake, be ready. Scholars that you read about the Gospel of Matthew sometimes call it an overload on the theme of vigilance. And the image of the consequences of the lack of vigilance are grim, swept away, left behind, broken into. Then there is the fearful question, can we be vigilant enough? Kind of reminds me of an old movie, and this is definitely a dated example, and I'd be curious to see how many of you folks remember it, who are my age at any rate. The old movie, I think it was called The Invasion of the Pod People. But it was really a movie about being vigilant, keeping your eyes out for the communists, lest we be invaded and taken over. But in the movie, if you fell asleep, you were cooked. You became part of the pod generation. Keep awake was the theme. But if you fell asleep, you'd be taken over. The question is, can one be vigilant enough? Politically, it's the kind of question we are asking. How much vigilance is enough? But maybe as we gather to prepare for the coming of the child in this Advent season, the better question is, what does it actually mean to be vigilant? We could look to the letter that Paul wrote to Romans today. Live honorably, avoid drunkenness, avoid licentiousness, quarreling and jealousy. Don't gratify the desires of the flesh. Who can knock that? For the church, over the centuries, these prohibitions have been the center of watchfulness. But it strikes me in listening to the lessons today that the prophet Isaiah actually is the most Christ-like in his wording. He issues a much broader vision for a new age: swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks, nation not lifting sword against another nation, learning war no more. Isaiah's is a broad vision in the sense of promoting the life for all, for the whole community of God, for the world. On the other hand, vigilance, lest we be left behind, is closer to a spirituality of fear. But Isaiah's vision is different. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. That vision is an invitation into a spirituality of relationship with God and sharing life with one another, the life that God gives us. Walking in the light of the Lord is less about vigilance of the self and watching out so much than it is an attendance, a mindfulness, a heart for the possibility of giving life to others. A heart for. I didn't get an opportunity to stay down for our Moravian brother's presentation, but I'll never forget, Roy, that you are the apostle of Advent, because you talk about having a heart for the people. The light of the Lord shines in our heart and invites others. And it gives us light to see when Christ might be coming. So I began with an allusion to the promise of building a big wall, even if the issue were only one of safety, safety for our nation and its citizens. How might that best be achieved? Keeping folks out? Or being attentive, being mindful, being open-hearted to the needs and opportunities for people to live meaningful lives? We now call Advent a season of hope. Many of us remember when these colors would have been purple, season of penitence and vigilance. We've kind of changed our view these days. Blue has replaced purple, the color of vigilance. As we prepare for the coming of the child, we have hope for a new age, a transformation, even while we acknowledge that his parents had to be very vigilant, simply to keep him alive and protected against evil forces. But vigilance is not what puts us right with God or keeps us right with God. We trust the coming of the child is the coming of light, of God's grace manifest before us. Come, let us walk in the light. And now it is at this point, as I'm reading the sermon to my wife this morning, she says, well, is that all we need is a good prophet, Isaiah? Why do we need Jesus? I go on. Jesus is the light that we know and believe was not put out and will not be put out even by our failure to be vigilant enough or our failure to be attentive enough to those who are in need in the world. That through the forgiveness of sins and the reconciliation to God, given by Jesus' death and resurrection, we are ready and we are empowered to walk in the light. So, brothers and sisters, as we begin this Advent season in faith in Christ, let us walk in the light, a light which empowers us to see the next coming of Christ, particularly as he comes to us in the hopes and dreams and needs of those who themselves long for life. Amen.